Good morning and welcome to the first service of the year 2015. My hope is that all of us will be blessed this year as we come together to worship this wonderful place, and that by the end of the year, there will be even more people that will be here today or in this place. We are grateful for visitors from near and afar, and we are thankful for you being with us. As we think about the new year, I'd like for you to think about this thought that someone wrote. I came to my teacher with quivering heart, my task undone. Teacher, hast thou another sheet for me? I have sold this one. She took the old sheet, stained and blotted, and gave me a new one, clean and unspotted. And into my glad heart she smiled and said, do better this time, my child. I came to my father with an aching heart, the old year done. Father, hast thou another year for me? I have used this one. He took the old year, stained and blotted, and gave me a new one, clean and unspotted. And into my glad heart he smiled and said, do better this time, my child. In a sense, all of us today are like a blank piece of paper, because all of us today have not written what will take place this year. A lot of it depends upon the Lord. A lot of it depends upon us and what we will do with the year that hopefully God will give us. This morning, I'd like for us to think about some things in the new year that we will do well to do that might help us make the best of this year and the best use of our talents in honor and glory to God. First of all, as we think about the new year, we need to practice selective memory. Now, I know sometimes there's a joke among mates as to the selective memory that each of us have about things that are said. But the fact of the matter is that sometimes there are some people who do not have the ability to remember certain things. There are medicines that can wipe away thoughts from your mind, and therefore you're not able to think. Sometimes people have dementia issues, and so the part of the brain in the front, immediate short-term memory, is one of the first things that is often destroyed by this illness. And then as we get older, there are just some things, because of the 100,000 brain cells that we lose every year, that just don't allow us to pull up things as we once did. But there are things that we would do well to remember. The Bible talks about various things that God wants us to remember. For example, what he has done for us is something that we should always remember. Over in the Old Testament in Joshua chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, as the people of Israel were about to cross the Jordan River to go into that new promised land, they were instructed to take 12 stones out of that bedrock of river. So that when people would look at those stones, they would remember the blessings that God had given to them. And over in Psalm chapter 103, beginning with verse 2, he asked the question about the blessings that we have, that we are not to forget. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. In other words, remember these benefits. What are they? Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. We would do well to remember the great blessings that God has given us. We also need to remember the material things that God has blessed us with here on earth. In Luke chapter 16, there's a story of two men that lived, two men that died, two men that were found in different places. The Lord wanted the rich man to remember the life that he had there on earth. And he said to him, remember that in your life you received good things. And Lazarus, this other man, received poor things, but now, or evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. We are indeed a rich people. We have been blessed with so many things, and so we need to remember that. We also need to remember the need to obey God and to be ready to obey God. In the book of Luke, chapter 17, our Lord is talking about his coming judgment. And in it, he prefaces that three words that he mentions there in verse 32 by talking about how it was in olden days, how that when Noah was in his day, people were eating and drinking, and then it began to rain, and judgment had come upon the earth. He talks about in Lot's day, how that folks were eating and drinking. They were marrying and being given in marriage. But then he said, Lot left Sodom and Gomorrah, and it rained fire and brimstone. And then he says, my coming will be just as swift. And in case you have forgotten, verse 32, remember Lot's wife. Remember how that she knew of that judgment. She knew that she was not to turn around, but she did. And she turned into a pillar of salt. We need to be sure and remember what our Lord has done for us. In the prayer that was just prayed, it was mentioned being grateful for all that God has done for us. A little while we'll be remembering around that table the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, when you partake of this bread, when you partake of this fruit of the vine, you do this in remembrance of me. We should never forget what our Lord has done for us and the great blessings that are ours, the great salvation that is ours because of what he has done for us. And so this year we would be doing well to practice selective memory. But there are also some things that we need to forget. We will do well to forget the mistakes that have been made in the past. All of us are human. All of us have made mistakes. We can dwell upon them. We can allow them to fill up our life to the point that we can't presently do what we need to do. Or, like Paul, we can choose to forget them. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, he said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark or the goal of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's a notable statement, especially when you think about the past that he was seeking to forget. This was not Paul the great apostle, but he remembered himself as Saul, the persecutor of Christians. A man who had taken orders and gone into Christian homes, separating moms and dads from their children, putting them in prison, thinking that he was doing right. Here was a man that had held the clothes of those that had stoned and put to death Stephen, that great Christian man. These were the things that were a part of his past, things that he could easily dwell upon. But instead, he said, I forget those things, and I reach toward that prize of being able to live with God one day in heaven. We would do also well to forget the evil things that others have done against us. It's so easy to think about the hurtful things that perhaps people have said about us. But in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11, he says, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. To defer means to put off, to put aside. And that's the idea, is rather than dwelling on the evil things that perhaps people have said about us, we just need to give them grace and mercy and just forget it. Clara Barton is the woman that is known to have created the American Red Cross Association. And on one occasion, she was talking to a friend of hers, and they were talking about a mutual person that they both knew. And as they were talking about this other person, the other lady said, don't you remember, Claire, what she said about you? Don't you remember the evil things that she said that she was going to do? And Clara Barton supposedly said, no, I distinctly remember forgetting that. There is value in forgetting certain things. Next, we need to forget negative things about other people. rather than allowing that to build up within us to cause resentment or envy or jealousy or things of that nature, we need to have grace and mercy to people and extend to them the forgiveness that God gives to us. Ephesians 4, verse 32 talks about this, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. The same grace and mercy that I so desperately need, that all of us are going to need in this new year, is the same grace and mercy that I need to extend to others, rather than dwelling on the evil things that perhaps folks have said or tried to do against us. Thankfully, we have a Father who is willing to forgive and also to forget. In Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34, he would say, "For they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, say, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more." Isn't it wonderful that we have an infinite God who chooses to forgive us? And when he does forgive us in accordance with our penitence and our asking the forgiveness of that wrong, wipes away that. Romans 8, verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And so we need to forgive the evil things or thoughts about others. We would also do well to forget our past successes. I appreciated Mike's invitation Wednesday night, in which he talked about some of the good things that happened in the year 2014 in this congregation. Souls that were saved, people that came to our building for the very first time, the opportunity to help make a difference in the lives of folks in this community. All those are wonderful things. We can learn from them, but we can build upon those good things, but they're in the past, and therefore, we can't just live in the past, but now we must march on and do things that will make this year that much better. So this year we need to practice selective memory. Secondly, we would do well to examine ourselves on a regular basis. Doctors talk to us regularly about the need to make examinations of our physical body to make sure that there aren't any bruises or cuts or swellings or knots or things of that nature. Especially little children, there's always the warning to make sure that those knots that come upon their head or bruises or grow outward and not inward. This past weekend, we had 17 folks at our house. And seven of them were children ages 1 to 9. So needless to say, over a 48-hour period of time, there were a few knots and there were a few bruises. We have a ping pong table there in the bonus room. And the little 15-month little one was just about the right height as the ping pong table. And so she'd be motoring around that and she'd be looking at the other kids and she'd run into the side of the table. And so Daddy would have to pick her up and make sure that, you know, there wasn't anything bad taking place. It's right and only proper to examine ourselves in that regard. Spiritually so, we need to do the same things. We need to make sure that we're in the faith, as 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5 tells us. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you're not your own selves, that you are in Jesus Christ or Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates or be disqualified. Notice that he said, prove your own selves. He didn't say examine others. He said examine yourself. Now, there is a time to be concerned about the needs of others. There is a time to be concerned about the souls of others, but I first of all got to take care of my soul before I can help in your life. The Lord talked about that in Matthew chapter 7, verse 5. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to take care of the mote that is in thy brother's eye. as we examine ourselves, we need to be ready to answer to God for the life that we live here on this earth. In Romans chapter 14, verse 12, he said, "Then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." You know, it would be wonderful in one sense on the day of judgment if we were able to stand before Christ and be judged as a congregation of God's people. I'd feel pretty good about my chances if I could go in with you and be standing before our Lord as a part of the Florence Boulevard Church of Christ. But that's not going to happen. I'd feel pretty good to be able to go in as a part of the Williams family because of the folks who are a part of my life and the good Christian lives that they live. But that's not going to happen either. He says here, each of us shall give account of himself to God. Regardless of the people that we've been around, regardless of the heritage of faith that's been passed on to us, each of us are going to stand individually, one-on-one, before our Lord and before God, and to be held accountable for the life that we lived while here on this earth. Therefore, we need to always be in a sense of examination. That word account there is a financial term. Just as businesses today are looking at their inventory, taking into account how they did last year, what they can do to improve this year, the same must be true in our lives as well. This morning I want you to think about a question. If there was one thing that you and I could change in our spiritual life, it would be, and you fill in the blank. Think about it. If there was one thing that each of us could change in our own spiritual life today, what would it be? All of us know what the answer is. All of us know what our vulnerabilities are. All of us know whatever it is in my life and in your life that we need to be stronger in. We need to think about that in regards to what we can do to make our lives better. But also in that fact, let's remember, not only do we know the answer, not only does our Lord know the answer, but Satan knows that answer as well. Satan knows what my defects are. Satan knows what can turn my head. Satan knows what I am weakest at. And therefore, he's going to use every temptation, every alluring moment to try to get us to be part of his life and not the life that our Lord wants us to follow. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26, he says that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Peter says in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, literally your enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. He's got perfect vision. He knows exactly what can get into our minds, what can cause us not to be the person that we need to be. And so as we think about that question, let's also realize that the enemy knows as well, and that we've got to do everything we can to counter that. Thirdly, in this up and coming year that hopefully the Lord will give us, we need to make any necessary changes that need to be made. Someone has said a new life is not new if we live the same old life. If we realize that there's some things that we can improve on, whether it be physically or especially spiritually, then we need to make those changes. Perhaps one change that you need to make is to be more faithful to God and to his church. There are some things in the new year that will not change. The doctrine of Christ, the Lord's church, the Bible, that will not change. And we need to make sure that that does not change in our life, that we become even more faithful, more dedicated to God than we were the last year. In Romans chapter 8, He asks a great question there in verse 35 when he says, who shall separate us? Or literally, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sakes we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yes, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. There are people in this audience who 60 years ago began a loving relationship with their Lord by putting him on in baptism. Your love for him continues to grow even more and more because of how and what he has done for you. Whether distresses, whether problems, whether persecutions, you remain faithful to him. Your love for him grows more and more. It's like that love for that mate. When we say, I do, as I did some 36 years ago, yes, I love my wife. But now, 36 years later, that love is even greater and stronger. Even in the last year where we've had issues and situations to deal with, our love has become even greater and stronger because of that attachment that we have for one another. Going through those issues, good times and not so good, that make us love and respect and appreciate each other more, and also our God who helps us through all things. There are some things, as we think about changes, that don't need to change. Our love for Christ should just grow greater and greater. But let's go back to that question. If there was one thing that I could do to change my spiritual life, what would it be? Maybe you said, well, I need to become more faithful to God. I need to come to church more. I need to be more involved in the Lord's church. Then you need to make that change. You need to do so while you ought to have the opportunity. You need to repent of that wrong because you were not here when you could have been. You weren't a part of the Lord's work as it could have been. And thus today, as you start a new life, a new year, this is the best time to do it. Simply to say, I haven't been what I need to be. But with God's help and with the grace and mercy of God and the help of my church family, I'm going to do that. The Bible talks about the need to repent in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Maybe as you think about necessary changes, there's some bad habits that you need to break. They say that it takes 21 days to create a habit. I don't know exactly how long it takes to end a bad habit. But I know that as a person begins to work at it and pray about it and ask others to help them with it, those bad habits can be taken away. Perhaps you think about the need to study God's Word more. Now's a good time to do that. Out there in the foyer on the round table, there are daily Bible reading tables. So that if you begin today, you can read the entire Bible through in one day's time or 1 year's time. Not one day, 1 year's time. I guess you could in one day's time. I remember 27 hours, you can read the entire Bible. So I guess you have to stay up a little bit longer if you really wanted to do it all in one day's time. It's important to know God's Word, to make those necessary changes as we have the opportunity to do so. And then number four, as we think about a new year, let's determine to make a difference in the lives of others. As the reading of the Bible was this morning, God's mercies are new every morning. God has given us this morning. We don't have the promise of the afternoon, but we do have the promise of this morning. And thus, we need to make a difference in the lives of others while we have the opportunity to do so. We don't have the promise of tomorrow. We have only the promise of today. James talked about that, the brother of our Lord. In verses 13 through 15 of James chapter 4, he said, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we'll go into such a city. There we'll buy and we'll sell and we'll get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." Some years ago, I heard the story of a man from a company that was going to pick up one of his clients. He had spoken to this man over the phone many times, but they had never met face to face. And so the man was flying in, and so he went out to the airport to pick up this client. And as they were beginning to talk and get his luggage and things of that nature, he noticed that this man was always moving about. His eyes were always looking around. And so when a little child dropped her teddy bear, he went over and picked it up and handed it to her. When an older person was struggling with her luggage, he picked up their luggage and helped with that. When someone was going through the door, he opened the door for them. This man commented, "I can't help but think that everything that you're always looking about, trying to help in the lives of others. Why?" And the man went on to say that he had fought in the war in Vietnam. And he said, "There were times when we were out there in the jungle when we did not know but that our next step would be our last. When we might step on a landmine or we might get into a great battle and our lives might be taken. I decided that life was so fragile that I would make every step count for something good." We need to realize how fragile life is. It was mentioned last week in Ed's sermon that eight of those that were a great part of this congregation died in the past year. As I look out over this audience, I don't even want to think about one passing. But the fact of the matter is that folks of all ages don't have the promise of tomorrow. Therefore, it's important that we make a difference in the lives of people while we can. Again, I'd like for you to think about this statement. Before I leave this life, I want to, and you fill in the blank. What do you want to do for the cause of Christ? Is there some person that you want to bring to Jesus? Is there perhaps a prayer that you would like to pray? Is there a song that you would like to sing in a worship service? A Bible class that you would like to teach? Is there someone that you would like to bring and make an eternal difference in their life? Then we need to do that while we can. We need to set goals and make those plans to succeed. It's just one thing to say, "I want to lose weight," but it's even better when we say, "I want to lose this much weight by this date, and this is what I'm going to do to combat that." We need to set goals to succeed. And of course, we need to be sure that whatever we do, we try to make a difference in the life of a child. This past Wednesday night, the last night of the year, Lisa and I spent our time watching the movie Courageous on TV for the third time. If you've seen that movie, then you know what it's all about. It's all about a problem that we see at the children's home on a daily basis, the absence of a father, emotionally, physically, and especially spiritually. All the studies suggest that if you go to the jails here in our county, or you go to federal or state penitentiaries, 90% of the folks that are there partially because of the absence of a father figure in their life. So many of our children have very little knowledge or interaction with a father. And bless those mothers' hearts. They did all that they could to try to make a difference in the life of that child. Men, whether you be a great-grandfather, an uncle, a grandfather, or a father, I challenge all of us that this year we make a difference in the lives of those that are around us. It may be a neighbor down the street. It may be someone at the end of the pew sitting next to you. It may be your own grandchildren or your own great-grandchildren. Let them see Christ in you. Let them see you studying the Bible. Let them hear you pray to God on a regular basis. Let you show them what morality and ethics are all about by the way you treat those around you. The world is hurting for a mentor, and we need to stand up and say, I will be accountable. I will be responsible for my family, for those that are about me, and I will try to make a difference for eternity in the life of someone that I love. Like Joshua would say in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There are in this audience today mothers and women who have to take on that awesome responsibility of not only being a mother, but also trying to shoulder responsibility of being a father to those that they love. Timothy seemingly had that same situation in his life because not much is said about his father. But it said about him in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned, that sincere, unadulterated faith that is in you, Timothy, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I am persuaded is in you also. God bless you, ladies, for continuing to do the best you can with those children as you shoulder that responsibility. Thus today, as we close our lesson, we don't know what the future holds, but we do know who holds the future. There are some things that we need to do in this new year. We need to practice selective memory. There are some things that we need to remember forever. There are some things we would do well to forget. We need to examine ourselves regularly to make sure that we're in the faith, that we're living the life, so that when God calls into account, we're ready to meet Him in judgment. If there are things that we need to change in our life, then we need to make those necessary changes while there is the time, while there is the opportunity. And then we need to try to make a difference in the lives of others. The life of a child, the life of a mate, those that we love. God has blessed us with a new year. God has blessed us with that piece of paper. There's nothing on it. It's up to us as to what should be put upon it. This morning, as you think about the questions that have been there upon the PowerPoint, if there are some things that you need to change in your life, then why not today do that? If you're not a child of God, yet accountable and responsible for the sins in your life, why not come to Jesus? There's no greater time than now to come in believing faith, turning from the sins of your life, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, and then being baptized to become a child of His. You'll automatically be placed into the great family of God, the Lord's church. Brothers and sisters that can help you in this new year as you strive to serve Him. Majority of us have already done that. Are there some things in our life that are amiss? Are there some things that we need to say we're sorry for before God and before His people? Then why not now, as the Lord invites you to come, that you come to Him and do that today, right now, as we stand and sing.
Gently to His home. Say. was waiting, waiting at the door of the darkest, softly, softly o'er and o'er. Hear him, soul, and open, I implore. Why keep Jesus waiting, knocking at the door? Soon he'll cease his pleading, yes, forevermore. Come, poor soul, obey him.
Seated, please. This time in our service, we've set aside to return back to the Lord a portion of those things that He's blessed us with. For your consideration, I'd like to read in